Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey folks, today's show is brought to you in part by our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com. It's the best way to support this independent podcast. You can sign up for as little as $1 a month or as much as $15 a month. In fact, if you sign up at the $15 per month level, you're going to get all kinds of dings, including our Tuesday and Thursday shows presented without commercials. We take out all the commercials for you. Plus, you're also going to get two postmortem mini shows recorded after the credits on our Tuesday and Thursday podcasts, and more dings. You're also going to get the subscription-only after-party podcast on Fridays, with all of its revealing discussions about sex, drugs, rock and roll, and politics. Again, that's bobseskashow.com, or click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at bobseska.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters,
relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Why make trillions when we could make billions?
A trillion is more than a billion, numbnuts.
All right, zip it.
You can't even...
Zip it. Zip.
Look, all
ladies and gentlemen of the jury, exhibit A.
Number two, would you please back
Look,
me up?
Look, I'm Zippy Longstocking.
I can't...
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Fine, would you please...
Kisu hai, pindo wa, mita hi oto. Subtitle, zip it.
I'm just trying
zip.
To...
Zip. Would you like to have a suckle of my zipper?
I want you... Stop.
Really? Zip it.
This
zip it.
Oh,
zip it.
You know what?
Zip it.
You're like a child.
Zip it.
Talking. If you just one time.
Zip it.
Bob Seska.
Ladies and gentlemen, take my advice. Pull down your pants and slide on the ice.
The Bob Seska Show.
That was kind of the debate the other night, wasn't it? From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, Rocktober 1, 2020. And this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, how you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Oh, hi, Rachel. Hi. Day 1,351 of the Trump crisis, 33 days until the 2020 presidential election. Boy, it's right around the goddamn corner, so let's bring him in, the Goth Ninja! It is Jody Hamilton from the Bunker podcast, from-the-bunker.com, also at sexyliberal.com, along with all the other Sexy Liberal Podcast Network programs, podcasts as we call them in the modern vernacular. Also, David T-Rex Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/T-Rex Report, also at astralsummer.bandcamp.com. And I was supposed to get a song to play this week on the Thursday show from Mr. T-Rex and his Astral Summer project, but I don't have anything sitting here in my inbox, so what the fuck?
Oh, my God. It's not, well, you know, there hasn't been anything going on. I have no excuse.
That's right. That's exactly the right answer, because I had just have to say right at the outset here, I really have not slept all that much since the Tuesday night, whatever the fuck that was. So I'm still kind of wired with what the fuck energy at this point. So I'm going to be really weird today. I'm just warning everybody.
That's going to be a loopy Thursday.
So much.
No, I've been having stress dreams about my abusive ex ever since Tuesday.
That's not good.
Oh, really? Because
no,
of the debate?
I'm having these dreams that we never split up and that I have, you know, not ironed his shirts. And it's just like, just
it includes not ironing
sweat.
His shirts.
Oh, he was such an asshole. You have no idea.
So there was a big like sturm and drag over the fact that his shirts weren't ironed. Is that like a point of conflict that was?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus Christ. What's wrong with him?
Yeah,
that's a loaded question.
Young and I spoiled him. He was 22. I was 28.
Well,
yeah. As soon as Trump was like, don't use that word with me. Don't you ever use that word.
Oh, yeah.
I was just
that.
Like, it was just like, it was
you know
like,
what?
Oh, my God. I broke
next
out
time,
in a cold sweat.
Next time, Joe Biden just has to say, you're not smart. You're an idiot throughout the entire thing. Just get him like at the end of every single answer that Joe Biden gives.
Right. Oh, yeah. You're not smart. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
you're not a big brain person. And what were those five words again that you were supposed to say? Wasn't it person, woman, man, camera, TV, something like that? Do you know that by heart?
I denounce fucking white supremacy.
Yeah,
oh,
that's all it takes.
People are defending him on that.
Yeah, and it didn't take long. The Proud Boys already added it to their logo. In fact, they added it to their logo, whatever that was, Stand Back and Stand By. Just another inexplicable whatever the fuck that was kind of remark from Donald Trump. But it was loaded enough for the Proud Boys to add it to their logo. So that was before midnight Eastern time on Tuesday night. The Proud Boys already had a new slogan.
I hear that in association with the Proud Boys, and I'm thinking they're going, no, it doesn't happen. I mean, I just, it's not you. I'm going to get it up. You know, like, just stand by. Stand back. Don't touch me. Like, if they ever got into a room with an actual naked woman, they would be just completely, like, impotent and helpless.
Right. So, yeah. So, it's a flaccid problem. That's the,
yeah.
That's
stand
the
by.
Problem. Yeah.
I'll get it up.
By the way, before we get into the debate, because we're going to talk about the debate a lot more today. We talked about it yesterday with Rude Pundit on the interview show. But today, we're really going to dig into some more of the details here. But before we do that, did you guys see what Rudy Giuliani tweeted this morning? It was
the
another.
Debat?
Yeah, the debat, whatever the fuck that was. He just tweeted the word the, and then the word debat, as if it was the word debate, but without the E at the end, and then just a period. And that was it. That was Rudy Giuliani.
It's despicable.
That guy
he needs to just,
is the shadow Secretary of State. He is like the alternative, the Trump Secretary of State. There's the federal government secretary.
Like the bizarro world Trump secretary
exactly,
of state.
Yeah.
Me do diplomacy.
That's right. Mike Pompeo is not the real secretary of state. Rudy Giuliani is the real, and sleep tight, America. So yeah, so he's losing his mind. And speaking of losing their minds, I think John Roberts is pretty much done with the White House. Fox News Channel's John Roberts. And it's about goddamn time. He took on Kaylee McEnany today. Is it McEnany? Did I say that
McEnany,
correct?
McEnany.
What the fuck is...
Just
what the hell is wrong with me? So, yeah, so John Roberts took on Kaylee because, again, they would not denounce white supremacy. So,
because it's their base. They know that.
Oh, yeah, of course. Remember when Donald Trump said the other night he was playing political pundit? He was like actually pretending as if he was in one of the recap kind of roundtables or in the spin room afterwards when he was yelling at Joe Biden, you just lost the left. You just lost the left. It's like,
what?
Yeah, okay. Oh, shit. Who the fuck do you think you are?
As if followers are, so, I mean, at this point, are so callow.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
that,
what?
Like one mispronounce, you know, like, no, dude. I don't think you realize how much we fucking hate you. Like,
well, the point is that they're worried about losing the right. I mean, that's why they won't denounce white supremacists. That's why they won't denounce Proud Boys. And John Roberts went off today, not only to Kaylee McEnany, but also on Fox News Channel. Right after that, he went and did a live spot from the little Pebble Beach area there outside the press room. And just freaked out on Fox News Channel, and they didn't know what the hell to make of it. I don't have the tape here, but it's not really worth playing. All he said was, stop deflecting, stop blaming the media, I'm tired of it. That was John Roberts on Fox News Channel. Kind of amazing to see that happen, to see the bubble get shattered.
Skynet become self-aware.
That's exactly what happened. And you know, the other thing that's not getting a lot of play that I thought would get more play after Tuesday night is when Joe Biden called Donald Trump Putin's puppy, which That's a new one. I think he was going for puppet, but he landed.
I like puppy better.
Yes, yeah, that's way, way better.
We in on the carpet and.
Yeah, yeah. Because while puppets are inanimate objects and they are controlled by a puppeteer, they can kind of look sinister and evil and scary. So there is some power in the concept of being a puppet, but being Putin's puppy, on the other hand, well, that's entirely helpless. I think that's a much better metaphor. So we have to repopularize, or we need to make an effort here to make...
Dig out, to extract Putin's puppy and make it a meme.
Putin's puppy has got to be made into a meme. And we're here to start that trend today.
Puppies are cute.
Yeah. Well, that's
not
also
a problem.
Like, yeah.
Well, he's a lap dog. He won't, you know, he's being abused by his abusive Russian friend.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's a lap dog and can be, you know, say no when he sits down, you know, and he'll rub his nose in his excrement and stuff. So.
That's right. Scooting his ass all over the floor, you know. That's Donald Trump.
I mean, there's so much to unpack from Tuesday, but I think first, I mean, before we go any further, we have to say, I mean, that was not a debate. That was an attack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And that was, it was like walking up on a domestic violence incident in a parking lot.
Yeah, it really was.
It left, but afterwards, I really did feel like I'd been in a fight. Mm-hmm. Like I was exhausted. Of course, I cooked my way through the whole thing. I was like angrily chopping.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, if you've heard me speaking on whether it was John Fugelsang's show or Stephanie's show yesterday or even with Rude Pundit, I've been talking about this over and over again, which is the fact that Donald Trump was so unforgivably reckless on Tuesday night with that behavior, mainly from the perspective that the entire nation is experiencing this low frequency stress because of the pandemic, because of the disruption, the isolation, the unknown is part of it. There's a lot of fear. And the president's job in a national emergency is to be the voice of reason, to be the voice of calm, to lead the country forward in a way that makes us want to follow along and comforts us in these sorts of harrowing times, these unprecedented times. And even though he is 99% responsible for why we are still in this pandemic now, he had a duty to not exacerbate that stress. And what did he do? He got on TV and acted like a fucking maniac for 90 minutes. And that
he said
only...
he's not going to abide by the results of the election.
Right.
Yeah,
he plans
yeah.
on dragging it out for months. He did say months.
Right, right.
Which I'd like, I can't stand that. I will fucking impale myself on a spike fence.
But it's just his overall tone. The fact that he was doing that terrified Americans, that made everything less stable, even though it was already at a place that it was deeply unstable in terms of just the overall vibe of this nation and all the people who are here watching this go on and experiencing the death and experiencing, 7 million plus infections now with any end in sight to all of that. And the president gets up there and screams. The big takeaway from that, at least for the near term, is that Trump always makes things worse for Trump. Donald Trump fucked himself big time. And you know what? I think they need to do the town hall debate. I think they need to do the third presidential debate. I think they need to have these debates because now he's going to double down, and America needs to continue seeing that if we are to decimate him in a way that will humiliate him out of existence, as I've been saying for a while now.
I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think he's going to do the next two debates if they change the rules like muting microphones.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
because he has to accept
muting
that.
Muting a microphone would help. I think he would just stamp his foot and yell.
Well, he would, and then he'd look even stupider. But they have to agree to the rules going into each debate.
Yeah,
I want a shock collar.
If one person and their campaign disagrees with a rule change. Mm-hmm. Then it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So Joe Biden's already said, sure, mute him, mute us when we're not supposed to talk. I'm cool with that, you know, because obviously he's Joe Biden and he's fucking cool with that. And he's a reasonable human being. But I don't know if Trump can get away with it on a town hall like he could barreling over Chris Wallace, because those are real people.
Yeah.
And his last town hall, he was terrible. And the one lady went, I'm going to finish my question, sir. Yeah. You know, and him being rude to Chris Wallace, people could go, yeah, he's a lib. You know, he's, you know, da 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 da. Yeah, Joe Biden, who cares if he runs over that? But if he runs over Joe Blow, who might even be a supporter.
Yeah.
or, you know, so-and-so, it's not going to go over as well with the public. Granted, the second and third debates aren't watched as much as the first one.
Yeah.
But I think because of what happened on Tuesday, people will tune in if he shows up. And I, you know, my view is he made this debate also. He showed up late. Soon as the debate's supposed to start, if he's not there, you ask Joe Biden a question.
Right.
And you just start. Do not fucking let him walk in late and look like the asshole that he is. If the debate starts at 6 p.m. West Coast time, then that debate starts at fucking you. The intros happen. Boom, boom, boom. Rules are read. And you start asking your questions. And if he's not there, let Joe Biden just have his time.
And you know why he was late, right? It was a bullshit intimidation move. Because that, I mean, there's a lot of debate over the last couple of days in terms of what was happening behind the scenes. Why did he act that way? What was the strategy? What was the architecture of this plan for Tuesday night? And you know what? There was no architecture. This was as surfacey as it gets. This is Donald Trump with his bullshit, a mile wide and an inch deep sort of mafia style intimidation tactics. Make them wait. Always interrupt them. Keep them on their heels. It's all of that bullshit. Simpleton nonsense, just like entry-level debate tactics that are just bullshit
more
and
like
stupid.
More like iguanas in a cage.
Yeah, yeah.
And for supremacy, it really is like lizard brain stuff.
That's exactly right. So when it comes to the idea of doing this town hall debate, short of having a trap door under Donald Trump where they just press a button and then he just falls through the floor, I think that would be
a pit of vipers.
That's exactly right. But I mean, the real test will be, can he control himself when he's being questioned by real life human beings and not a moderator? And I don't know if he can contain himself, because right now, everything that he did that was horrible from Tuesday, which was all of it. I mean, everything that he said and did Tuesday night was a fucking horror show. That's all being reinforced now by all of the sycophants around him. Great, wonderful job. You got to keep doing that. Meanwhile, Donald Trump is trying to frame this, and the White House is in fact framing this in the same way that Joe Biden is trying to run away from the debates. In fact, they were saying at the Trump rally last night that Joe Biden doesn't want to do any more debates, that Joe Biden is changing the rules of the debates. And of course, that's
it's entirely wrong.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, we got every shut up sound effect that we have.
Shut the hell up.
Is appropriate for all of this.
Yeah. Shut up. Yeah. Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Can you give me that and Skylar White at the same time again? That's my favorite. It's like a symphony.
Yes, I can.
It
builds
so beautifully together.
Here we go.
Shut up. Shut the hell up. Shut up.
The hell up.
Yeah, the Olbermann one doesn't quite have the same ring, but it's good enough.
No, there's a glass edge kind of screaminess to the Skylar when it just like,
God damn it.
I feel it. I really feel it. Thank you. What's that actress's name? I have to like send
Miriam
her.
Miriam Flynn?
Yeah, no. Anna Gunn. Anna Gunn is the actress. Yeah, yeah.
I need to send her a thank you note.
Such a hell of a performance.
Basket
isn't it?
Of muffins, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so cathartic.
So, I mean, along the lines of what I was just saying in terms of the plan and strategy that Donald Trump may have gone in with, irrespective of what Trump had planned, the top Kremlin propagandists and state media experts came away from watching the debate with disappointment. They reluctantly acknowledged that Biden managed to wipe the floor with his loudmouthed opponent. So the Russians are like, shit, our guy got destroyed. Such a shame.
He's
isn't
acting
it?
Like a toddler. I mean, it was just unreal. It was damn near unwatchable. A friend of mine who's a sound man said it was like trying to check guitars and drums at the same time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just total cacophony.
Well, and you know, the upshot of it is that anyone who really doesn't feel like thinking about it too deeply, or anyone who is afraid to even say that Donald Trump was reprehensible in his behavior, even for him Tuesday night, they're just going with the both sides thing. And that's driving me fucking batshit. I talked about this with Fugelsang last night. It's that same phenomenon that we've been seeing since the beginning, since Trump, rode down the escalator. He can have 1,000 things. He can have 25,000 things, 25,000 lies in the last 4 years, less than 4 years. And you lie once, and suddenly that one lie is elevated to the same level of importance as the 25,000 Trump lies. As long as you flood the zone, the press, or I should say more specifically, cable news, will conflate, you know, all the, you know, accumulation of lies from Donald Trump with something that is far more innocuous, you know.
But her emails.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That was
It's the same phenomenon again. And exactly, they just keep doing it. They can't help themselves. And part of it is their own, just like, you know, that we have to have both sides. It's both sides fever. And it's just like, you know what? They're not equally valid. Yeah. They haven't been for a long ass time.
It's just so immensely frustrating because you know what's happening. We see it with our own two eyes, and people are just like, people don't want to think too deeply about it. Nuance gets lost. But the both sides thing is just one of the major glitches that has landed us in this debacle in the first place. People don't understand. They don't see the dichotomy that's staring them in the face. I mean, there is no chance in hell Joe Biden was on any same level as whatever the fuck Donald Trump was doing the other night. Joe Biden.
Well, there's at least 128 times, according to one person's count, that Trump interrupted Joe Biden and or Chris Wallace versus, you know, maybe a couple dozen times that Joe Biden tried to just get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, yeah. 50% of debate watchers surveyed said Biden, the Democratic presidential nominee, performed the best during the debate. Just 34% said the same about Republican incumbent Trump. And 16% said they did not know or had no opinion.
Jesus. Who are these people?
I don't know. I mean, right now, there's still, I don't know the number. I think it's around 1 in 10 voters are still undecided.
How?
It's just
these
remarkable.
Are people who wake up every morning and they look at their zipper and they're like, oh God, up, down, fuck, I can't remember. You know, like, right. Like which do these go on? Which foot does, oh, damn, I mean, it. You know, like, oh, they're supposed to exhale too.
Yeah.
Are they undecided voters because they're undecided whether they're going to vote or not, or voters that plan on voting but don't know who they're going to vote for?
My
guess.
Because
it's just, I mean, if you're planning on voting, I hope you're paying attention now.
Yeah. I mean, my guess is what they're doing is blowing off the pollster. I mean, it has to be. I can't accept that they're just like, they watch that debate and go, well, I don't know who won. I mean, look, there's the other number from a Morning Consult poll. 10% of debate watchers surveyed said the candidates were respectful to each other's time.
No.
So those
that,
are,
no.
That's 10% of people going, well, I don't fucking care about whatever this phone call is. So yeah, whatever. Fuck it. Yeah.
Well, it's like someone said, polls. I mean, you can get 18% of people in favor of cold sores.
That's true.
I mean, you know, like, I mean, it's just.
Yeah.
There's always going to be these fucking weirdos who are just like completely out to lunch and maybe didn't understand the question or.
Yeah.
That are like the president that are just waiting to for you to stop talking or not even waiting so they can bust in with their opinions.
I mean, what do you guys think? I mean, should there be more of these? I mean, I really believe that as long
the bottom
as...
bottom line...
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say...
The bottom line is the bottom line.
Yeah.
It's the fact that the Biden campaign broke all of its fundraising records after
There's
that. They're going to have two more debates. Sorry, folks. It's going to be hard to watch.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that it helps the campaign.
Mm-hmm. Every time Donald Trump appears in public at one of these debates, I think it's going to work against him, especially if he continues doing what he's doing. I mean, who the fuck knows? He's so unpredictable.
Sean was suggesting yesterday that Biden should have just let Trump keep talking and digging the hole deeper. And just because he was doing this, he would like look at Trump and then look at the camera and like shake his head and go, what? You know, like to the audience that was important, which was the television audience. Like, he just needs to start doing like screwball, like you know, Bugs Bunny stuff.
Yeah.
You know, pick up the picture of a screw and a ball and point it at Trump kind of stuff. Cause it's like, are you really believing any of this crap?
He's talking in that whole weird Fox News Morse code where they have their conspiracy. And like, nobody in the audience, the greater TV audience, is not attuned to that bubble.
No.
And so it's like he's just yelling in hieroglyphics.
It's nearly impossible to communicate accurately or to communicate with any articulation at all when there's just a screaming demon in your ear ready to interrupt and jump in at any fucking time. So I think someone compared it to
elevate levels of stress like that. I'm sorry, you go ahead.
So yeah, about interruption. someone was saying it's like playing Carnegie Hall when a guy in the front row is holding an air horn. I mean, that's really what Joe Biden had to deal with. And I think part of that, I mean, if we talk about Donald Trump's strategy and how it's, you know, an inch deep and a mile wide, I think one of the things has that could fit into that qualification is the fact that Donald Trump was just deliberately trying to get Joe Biden to start stammering. Because it feeds into this myth that they're building up about how, you know, Joe Biden is in cognitive decline and, you know, all the rest of it. So what I really believe Donald Trump was trying to do was to trigger Joe Biden's disability. And that, if you look at it through that framework, through that prism, it makes Donald Trump seem even more ghoulish than he already was. And I think there's no reason to give him the benefit of the doubt on that. He's given us no indication that he would not go there. Certainly he's going to go there. He's gone there many, many times already. And so that had to have been part of it. Just the constant interruption with someone who is trying to be sincere with their remarks. At some point, you're going to push them over the edge. And that certainly happened, too, with Joe Biden calling Donald Trump a clown at one point. And will you shut up, man? I think was the big takeaway line from Biden. I mean, other than Putin's puppy, that was the big takeaway line. They had T-shirts for
will
sale.
You
before.
Just shut yeah. up. I mean, it's really, though, me, the big take. I mean, we already knew he was like an abuser and an asshole and a racist. But it just was like so flagrantly on display. And I think the very people he needs on his ticket, women, are going to just bolt from that. Because at some point, I think, you know, most women have dated one of those guys that is just a seething, like, mass of insecurity and needs to push down on everybody around him. And, you know, hopefully they got rid of him quickly, but not everybody did. And I just feel like women, the very people they needed to reach out to watched that and were just like, fuck this guy.
I had a friend, her son, who's 6 years old. He walked in during when the debate started and he looked at his mother and he goes, he keeps interrupting the other guy. I don't like him.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I saw a preschool teacher was like, you know what? Any teacher worth their salt. She's like, Chris Wallace would not last 5 seconds in a pre-K classroom.
Oh, God.
Because she's like, you have to follow through. You are the adult. You have to make things, you know, you have to say, if you keep interrupting, I will take away your time and give it to your opponent.
Well, the going back to the Russia thing real quick, there was a New York Times piece that was out the other day, and it kind of buried this one little section that kind of jumped off the page, for me at least, that U.S. intelligence and Homeland Security officials fear that during the debate, Trump was intentionally sending Putin a message to ramp up attacks on our ballots in order to disrupt a Biden victory. So he's basically giving a signal through the television.
He's talking about the ballots are, and like that's how we vote. Yeah. Everybody uses a ballot. Well,
the
dickhead.
The two most offensive parts of Donald Trump's portion of the debate, which was most of it, was the thing about the Proud Boys and not wanting to denounce white supremacy, and the other thing was further eroding the integrity of the election. And while he Donald Trump is fucking nuts and he's got no restraint and he's a fucking maniac who shouldn't be anywhere near the White House, but the fact of the matter is that he still was able to pump out all of this propaganda onto national television in prime time on every fucking network. He was able to get all of that out about, you know, ballots being found in a river, which, by the way, Kayleigh McEnany was taking questions about that today in the press room, and she couldn't tell the press corps where this fucking mysterious river was and who found the ballots. All she was able to come up with was
River Jordan.
Yeah, she was saying something
and the
like
Holy Land.
Well, there were ballots found in a ditch in Wisconsin. Well, where in Wisconsin? Wisconsin's a big fucking state. Where in Wisconsin are these mysterious ditch? And a ditch is different than a fucking river. It's just amazing. The press just wouldn't let her off the hook on that one. Thank fucking God. But it says here in the New York Times that worried American intelligence and Homeland Security officials who have been assuring the public for months that an accurate, secure vote could happen, they were concerned that Mr. Trump's rant about the fraudulent voting may have been intended for more than just a domestic audience. And it goes on to say they have been worried for some time that his warnings are a signal to outside powers, chiefly the Russians, for their disinformation campaign, which has seized on his baseless theme that the mail-in ballots are ridden with fraud. But what concerns them the most is that over the next 34 days, the country may begin to see disruptive cyber operations, especially ransomware, intended to create just enough chaos to prove the president's point. Fucking hang on tight. Hang on tight. I mean, things are in pretty good shape as far as the election go. And don't forget, I'm the don't get happy guy.
They're
so
not.
Well, no, as, no.
Because, I mean, he told his people, like, go interfere.
Well, hold on, no, wait, hold on, David. As of, according to Forbes 2 days ago, more than 1 million people have already voted in this
True.
Election.
Yeah, yeah.
This time, 4 years ago, it was barely 15,000 people.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. That's a really good point, because the real advantage to Donald Trump melting down, completely abandoning whatever spadoinkle he had left, the fact of the matter is that we don't have to wait until November 3rd for that to come to fruition.
No.
People are seeing that now. They're not going to forget. The people who walked into a voting booth on Wednesday of this week, that memory is fresh in their heads. People who sat down at their kitchen table to fill out their absentee ballot, that memory is fresh in their heads. And so will what happens in 2 weeks at the next mm-hmm. debate, at the town hall debate. More early voters are going to be seeing that. So basically what we're talking about here, and which Donald Trump doesn't understand, is that he was acting that way while essentially Election Day is going on.
Right.
I mean, we're now in this era in the United States where Election Day is no longer just that 24-hour span or whatever. There's 12 hours during that one day.
It never has been, really.
Well,
it was.
Yeah.
It was.
All of Utah does mail-in voting, and they have for years.
Yeah,
well, but I mean, this is a relatively new phenomenon. In the 70s, 80s, and 60s, it was basically that was the day you voted.
Yeah.
It's gotcha. Elections have been easier over the years, but probably last 2.5 decades, maybe it's gotten easier for people to vote and you have more days to vote. But I mean, because Washington and Oregon also do all mail-in. Hawaii just started it this year.
Yeah. I mean,
California's offering it just because of the pandemic. I've been an absentee voter for 20 years.
I mean, other than absentee voting, too, there hasn't been early voting until just
right.
in the last, I would say, no more than 10 years.
Yeah, certainly. Maybe 10 years, maybe.
Yeah.
That's a new, especially nationwide. It's a newer phenomenon.
Well, and especially now, too, mm-hmm. with the pandemic and
Absolutely.
Early voting expanding in more states and so on. So it's now at a relative high watermark, at least for this point in time. So, again, the point is that this is all going on. This horrifying behavior is going on while people are casting ballots. Normally, in past election years, when there hasn't been as much early voting, you can kind of get away with a shitty performance in the first debate, as we saw
right.
with Barack Obama in 2012,
exactly.
where, for whatever reason, the president in 2012 needed a nap or something before that debate.
I just don't think he expected the fire hose of lies.
Well, that's true,
right.
But he was
and at that point, there was still the question of, like, do you fact check in real time?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Do you use your time responding to the lies that man just told?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he might have been a little overconfident going into it, but that's, I mean, we've relitigated that.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty
yeah.
of times. That
yeah.
first debate, God, so many friends texted me that night. They're like, what's happening?
Yeah, what just happened? Yeah. It was freaking me the fuck out. And I'm in a card-carrying Obama bot, for God's sake. Everyone regards me as an Obama bot. And I was like, oh, fuck. Jesus Christ, Mr. President, what are you doing? What? Have some coffee. Something. Some meth. I don't care what it is. Wake up. But yeah, that he was able to get away with that because there wasn't as much early voting. And so that was not a bad bit of luck right there. But with Donald Trump, no such luck. No such luck whatsoever. You know, there's another Biden line that caught my attention the other night, which was that Trump was being chastised by Chris Wallace for interrupting even after he pledged to stop interrupting. Mm-hmm. And Joe Biden popped in with, he never keeps his word.
Boom.
Yeah.
Again. Oh, there were so many. I mean, yeah. It is what it is because you are who you are.
Uh-huh.
It was fucking amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There were so many. Trump definitely presented a target-rich environment for quips and asides, and that's really all there was
mm-hmm.
time for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he was making this wall of noise like Phil Spector.
Mm-hmm.
If it had been me, I would have been like, you interrupt me one more time, I'm walking off this stage and leaving out here by yourself to flop sweat in the spotlight. one more time. And he would do it, and I would just turn around and walk off stage and be like, I'm sorry, folks, this has been a chore, but good night. You know, and just because to me, that's, you know.
But you know, you're not concerned that Trump would be like, oh, great, that means I can just talk for however much time is left in all of this. That's
let him. He wasn't doing himself any favors. The longer he talked, the weirder he got.
Yeah, that is true.
On Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it started out just kind of medium weird and just angry. And then it got into the ballot conspiracies and just like, I mean, I was waiting for, you know, and start talking about body thetans or something.
He was just, he was so fucking obvious, Trump. Like with the whole thing, like where he's trying to get Biden to repudiate the Green New Deal and to repudiate Medicare for All, which Joe Biden has never supported either of those things. Those of us who, you know, followed the primaries and paid attention to the news knew that Joe Biden is not a supporter of Medicare for All. He wants to do the public option and use that as a springboard to slowly expand publicly offered health insurance. I think that's a reasonable description of Joe Biden's position on all of this. But so Donald Trump's like hectoring him about Medicare for All and the Green New Deal, and then
they're coming for the cows.
Yeah, and then
cows. Then goes, who will figure the cows?
No,
they're going to make, you know, flying jackpacks out of meat, so we know they're going to be using the meat.
Yeah. There we go. There we go. We just landed. Trump is baiting Joe Biden, right? And then and so Joe Biden says, well, no, I don't support these two things. I don't support Medicare for All or the Green New Deal. And Trump goes, hey, you just lost the left. See? Gotcha. You lost the left. And it's like, why do you care? Right. What's the point of that? The left already knows.
It's the Fox News bubble.
The left already knows what Joe Biden is all about. It's not like Donald Trump suddenly overturned this rock. Holy shit. You mean Joe Biden doesn't support Medicare for All? Oh, you just lost the left, buddy. It's like, oh, go fuck yourself.
He thinks everybody is as fickle and stupid as he is. And, you know, he believes whoever was the last person he talked to.
Well,
that's what we've heard before.
It's also further evidence that Donald Trump believes that, or Donald Trump behaves as president like a, you know, an AM talk radio pundit or like a cable news screecher who turns up just to fucking argue. Donald Trump thinks that's what politics is, even though, you know, it might be politics on cable news, but it's not politics in the real fucking world. And he doesn't get that. All he knows
basically
is
Mark Levin with a bad toupee.
That's exactly right. He just knows what he believes works on television. In fact, he was crowing about, I know television. He was saying that during his rally yesterday. And yeah, I watched some of his fucking rally because I'm nuts.
I think he's lost his confidence, though. Mm-hmm. Like part of what Trump? People liked about him before. Yeah.
And oh, did you see him dance? Did you see the video of him dancing to YMCA? That was a confident man. If he was dancing at the rally last night. I mean, literally.
Why do they keep
dancing.
Playing that song? Do they not know what it's...
I don't know. I don't know why they keep doing it. They just don't know. I don't know. Is it snarky? Is that what is it supposed to be? Is it like deliberately?
I think it's because these people are so like acultural that this is one of the few touchstones they have. The thing that they do at the wedding where you stick your arms up and then you stick them down and then you make a C. And
the chicken dance.
You know, and it's like, that's like, you know, they play Billie Jean, which is ridiculous. And you have to, with these people, you have to hit the largest, most obvious cultural signifiers or they're just completely like, huh?
You're so right. So fucking right. Okay. Well, there's never been a more important time to have a supply of reliable respirator face masks, especially with Donald Trump still president and still screwing things up. Wearing a face mask is the first line of defense against getting sick. And with continued wildfires in the West, which negatively impacts air quality across the entire nation, there's even more need for protection when you need to go outside. The director of the CDC testified under oath before Congress that wearing a face mask is more important than getting a vaccine when it comes to reducing the spread of COVID in our country. Only respirator face masks provide medical grade protection, and only FDA authorized respirator face masks provide the quality required. The New Deal Shop.com is your one stop place for FDA authorized respirator masks ready to ship now. The New Deal Shop.com has these medical quality FDA authorized masks, and every pouch comes with verified anti fraud labeling. Trust the masks medical professionals are using. Go to the New Deal Shop.com and get FDA authorized U.S. tested respirator face masks now with free immediate shipping for my listeners. Bulk pricing is also available, so you can get the masks you need affordably and quickly. Go to thenewdealshop.com right now and get FDA authorized respirator masks. Keep yourself and your family safer and healthier this fall. That's thenewdealshop.com. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
Oh, man. Flying Jacob, another song here from their Renew album. This is called Can't Take Back. It's just track number three. You know what I'm doing?
I'm going... I'm a mess of goosebumps right now. Her voice is giving me... It's just giving me life right now.
She's amazing, isn't she? Buzz Burbank nailed it when we first played Flying Jacob here on the show. This vocalist sings with immense confidence. And that's, I think that sells it. That makes it work. She owns every fucking note that she's singing. It's fucking incredible.
She sings with muscle is what she's doing.
Yeah.
It's like Toni Braxton has this muscular voice, you know, and it's just, it comes out of the speakers flexing on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. And in fact, the name of the singer has escaped me. Oh, yeah. Caitlin Medley. Caitlin Medley is the name of the singer from Flying Jacob.
More Irish.
Yeah, from Baltimore, Maryland. Holy shit.
Caitlin Medley. I'm from County Cork.
Yeah. God damn it.
Cork County, yes.
When this pandemic is over, I have got to get to Baltimore to see Flying Jacob. I mean, it's only like half an hour away from here. I should absolutely go. I cannot wait. What we're doing is we're working our way just through the album. I started with track one, then we played track two. That was just track three. And at some point, I'm going to finish the album and be seriously disappointed. And at that point, I will have to start pestering. More music, please. Flying Jacob, more songs for me. Yeah. For Bob. Make them
hurry.
Bob.
Bob, now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, okay.
Can I just say, I love when Buzz Burbank's voice comes out of the TV.
It's have you heard some of
this horror and the horrible Medicare commercial that repeats itself? I fucking hate that one. You may be eligible for, and it's just like, no.
Oh, there
he
is.
Yeah. But Buzz Burbank comes on to talk about the DR lawn trimmer, and I'm just like, it's Buzz, my buddy.
That's
I love that man.
Mike Elson!
Man, Buzz should do an advice show. I bet he gives really good advice.
Oh my God, yeah. You have no idea. He has great advice. He is a smart man. Yeah, yeah, no doubt about that.
Mike Elson!
By the way, buzzburbank.com, man, he's got brand new Buzz Burbank news and comment out today, so don't miss it. I've got a commentary in there, too. So we talked about...
Oh my God, now I want Buzz and I to co-host a like romantic advice show together, like a call-in, like love advice.
I should pitch him. Like, I bet he would do that. Buzz has some stories, man. I tell you, I'm not gonna spoil anything, but Buzz has some stories to tell. That's
I have intentionally given people bad advice before. You know, like you should sleep with your sister's husband. Yes. The heart wants what it wants, and just stand back and watch.
Yeah, that's not a good idea to pitch the show by saying you're going to give people bad advice.
We can call it terrible advice with T-Rex and Buzz.
With Daddy and T.
Oh, man. So getting back into things here, let's see what else. Oh, yeah, undecided voters. We'll just talk about undecided voters here a little more because I'm not frustrated enough. Undecided voters called Trump unhinged and un-American, but are unswayed by the debate. Yeah, out of 15 undecided voters in a virtual focus group conducted by veteran Republican pollster Frank Luntz, 4 said they were supporting Democratic nominee Joe Biden after watching the debate. 2 backed President Donald Trump. The rest remained on the fence.
God.
God,
you know why? Because they know that pollsters will stop calling. They know who they're voting for.
That's right. It's a pollster avoidance strategy.
Like, ooh, this is a way to be special. That you know, and, I mean, when you look at the undecided voters when they interview them, it's pretty clear that they're not the sharpest tacks in the box.
I got to tell you something. I'm holding it in my hands right here. I got documents. You can see it. This is my ballot. This is the sound of my official Maryland state ballot smacking up against the microphone.
Very substantial.
Right now.
It's big.
It's a big, thick envelope, and it says official ballot inside, and it's got my name on it, and inside is my weapon to vote against fucking Donald Trump. You have no idea how much I'm looking forward to just marking that box right next to Joe Biden's name, voting against Donald Trump, ousting Donald Trump. It's an amazing thing to know. Given that he is such a fucking fascist tyrant, it is amazing to know that at least for now, we can still cast ballots to oust that motherfucker from office, and it may actually work.
Now, are you voting absentee and putting it in the mail, or are you just taking your ballot to the a Dropbox or something else?
We're going to drop off our mail-in ballots at an official Dropbox.
At a polling place?
Because
I know that New York has been having some issues. I just saw it on some of the progressive things on Facebook. This guy got his ballot, which had his proper information on it, but the envelope to mail it had somebody else's name. So make sure everything is accurate on everything before, and because if it isn't, then you need to request a new, you need to probably just hand it over without the exterior envelope to a person, a polling person.
Yeah.
Just make sure, learn your rules, everybody. Make sure you do everything. I's dotted, T's crossed. Because things can get thrown out. And 45 out of the 50 states and the two territories, you can track your ballot.
Mm-hmm.
So do that. Ballottracks.com is for California. And it will tell you if it's been accepted or not. So the earlier you vote, if you do that, you will know whether or not your ballot's been accepted. If it hasn't been accepted, learn the rules on how to make sure that it does get accepted and fix it before November 3rd. Many states start counting ballots that night or prior to that night. They start when the absentee ballots come in, they're already making sure that they're okay to be counted if they're not already being counted. North Carolina, Florida, Ohio, high swing states, they all start counting absentee ballots on election day.
Yeah.
We're going to know on election day.
The Maryland system was great. It took a couple of weeks between sending in the application and actually receiving the ballot, but I was able to track it online and just do a simple login process where you can go in and you can see where your ballot is in the process. And it was for quite some time, it was application received, application right. processed, and then ballot sent. And so it was at one point or another, I saw all three of those statuses, and Kimberly and I both got our ballots on the same day. So they both arrived at the same time. No problem. Giant, like it must weigh at least a pound. I got a pound of ousting power right here. Speaking of the election, a third federal judge has ordered the U.S. Postal Service to halt changes that have caused nationwide mail delays. That's good news, even though we know that Louis DeJoy is trying to stymie all of that. He's trying to block that process.
And postal workers are resisting from coast to coast. Can I just say how beautiful that is and how much I love the Postal Service?
Yeah.
You know, my granddad was a mail carrier for his whole adult life, so I'm a big USPS fan.
Yeah, oh, yeah, me too.
The fact that the New York postal workers like took their time, like, dismantling these sorting machines is going to take another month or so at least, dude.
It's one of the great values that we have as Americans in terms of a cost-benefit analysis. The fact that you can put an inexpensive stamp, a stamp that you can buy with pennies, basically, on an envelope, and within a few days, it'll arrive at the place that's written on the outside of the envelope. That's kind of an amazing thing when you really, really think about it. The process that goes into getting that envelope from one place to another, and that it still works. I mean, Louis DeJoy and Donald Trump aside, generally speaking, it still works quite well. So it's an amazing value for just the cost of it. What is the cost of a stamp now? 45
cents? 50 cents.
Yeah.
God, it's still half a dollar, and I can put this and it'll go anywhere in the 50 states within 3 or 4 days usually. And I write a lot of letters. And so, I mean, I'm a big fan of just being able to like put this, whole like hours and hours of thought and writing and craft into an envelope and slap a 50-cent sticker on it and zoom off it goes to its destination without fail.
Well, here's a bit of news that will unfortunately tamp down our excitement about the election. But Amy Coney Barrett has refused to recuse from election matters. There was a questionnaire that she filled out, and she declined to include in the questionnaire that she was recusing from anything that is connected to, you know, a challenge in the ballots and so on. Yeah, Trump is
such a freaking freakazoid Nazi. Her eyes terrify me. Oh my God,
Jesus. Yeah.
No, I mean she. I mean, one of those things that was terrifying as a, you know, as a little gay kid growing up was, I mean, you're used to men being assholes, but when you met like a crazy super Christian lady, they were terrifying. I mean, like, and like, what's her face? The former Huckabee Sanders, like, she just fills me with revulsion.
Yeah.
Because she reminds me of so many, like, horrible Southern Baptists. But this lady is, like, nuts. I mean, she's a handmaid. They actually call themselves handmaids. And the husband's the head of the house. And I'm like, well, if you're supposed to be subservient to your husband and to all men, why are you trying to land on the Supreme Court, lady?
We should be vetting her husband for the job. She also apparently in 2006 supported an organization that basically – if you do IVF, you cannot destroy any of the embryos. That would be murder. So she's against people trying to get pregnant with their own, you know, biological children. I have issues with that, but that's not why.
Yeah.
You know, adopt people. There's kind of probably a reason you can't have babies naturally. But if that's what you want to do, that's your business. They shouldn't be. I mean, she wants them to be criminally charged if they get rid of the embryos that are non-viable or they're not going to use. And
they're nuts. These people are fucking nuts.
Yeah. My biggest concern is that she was nominated by Donald Trump because she agreed in a meeting with Donald Trump that she will be his Bill Barr on the court. And that's concern that in the face of this election, and God, what reason, again, has he given us to dispute this analysis? Trump hated Jeff Sessions because Jeff Sessions recused from the Russia situation. So Donald Trump hires Bill Barr specifically because Bill Barr refused to recuse, specifically because Bill Barr pledged to do whatever Donald Trump asked him to do.
He knew he would function with all the spine of a bag of wet sponges.
Yeah. And so here we are. In another situation, here we are in another situation where this election could come down to, you know, a Supreme Court decision. So Donald Trump is stacking the Supreme Court with someone who is going to side with him. And the reason she's going to side with him is because he nominated her in order to do that. So that
you also have to Jody.
But, you know, you have to remember that Ms. Barrett, Judge Barrett, Justice Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh were three of the attorneys on Bush v. Gore for Bush.
Yep.
We already know how Roberts and Kavanaugh might rule. I'm not sure Roberts would at this point, but we have a pretty good idea that you know, he's hiring her for that reason too. Is she would be the third justice appointed to the Supreme Court that worked on Bush v. Gore for Bush.
It is this election has to be a landslide. It has to be a blowout so that we avoid that eventuality. Mm-hmm. And at least the way it looks right now, it's leaning in that direction. I won't say that we're in that area yet, because quite honestly, I still, we were talking about this before the show. The 2016 election was a mind fuck. I think we all were mind fucked to an extent, especially those of us who were following the polls and felt as though, well, yeah, I mean, in years past and elections past, the polls have been relatively accurate, especially Nate Silver's forecasts. And so I thought, well, okay, I guess we can safely rely on that. And then election night rolls around 2016, and it's like, what the fuck is going on here? And I know there was some debate over margins of error and so on, but by and large, all of the big pollsters and the forecast models were showing a big victory for Hillary Clinton going into all of that. And since we're seeing similar big prognostications happening now, I'm like, yeah, yes, this is great, but 2016, mind fuck, mind fuck. Amy Coney Barrett said she would recuse herself from cases involving her husband, Jesse Barrett, and her sister, Amanda Coney Williams, both of whom are attorneys. Barrett also would recuse herself from cases that include Notre Dame. Barrett has been a law professor at Notre Dame since 2002. The 48-year-old nominee also said she would step aside from matters in which she participated while serving in her current role as judge on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. Top Democrats have called for Barrett to commit to recusing herself from the issues involving the outcome of the 2020 presidential election, given the possibility that the result could be decided by the Supreme Court. Democrats have also accused Trump of seeking to place a loyalist on the high court in the event of a contested election. And so, suffice to say, Amy Coney Barrett did not include the 2020 election as one of the things that she would recuse herself from if that comes before the court. And that's just fucking terrifying to me. I mean, just, I gotta say. And what makes it worse is, much like Bill Barr, Amy Coney Barrett can hoodwink a lot of members of Congress with this, with this, hey, look at me, I'm normal and sane sounding. I'm not a flame-throwing demon. Neither a goblin nor a drunken maniac. So, you know, why not confirm me? I'm reasonable, don't you know?
They confirmed the drunken maniac, remember?
Yeah, they did. They did. They also confirmed Bill fucking Barr, who's 1,000 times more dangerous than Donald Trump could ever hope to be. I mean, Bill Barr has got his fucking keys to the fucking kingdom with the Department of Justice. The amount of fuckery that Bill Barr can get away with now, whether it's backstopping Donald Trump or doing his own nefarious fucking shenanigans behind the scenes, it is a fucking terrifying prospect. Not good for anyone. And I get the sense that Amy Coney Barrett is carved from that same cloth. They figured out that if we can get someone to do Donald Trump's bidding who is otherwise not a fucking crazy person, then why not? Let's do that. And that seems to have been the strategy.
She is a crazy person. You can look at her. She has those Ann Coulter, I'm screaming even when my mouth
Michelle
is shut
Bachman.
Eyes.
Yeah. She's got Michelle Bachman eyes, man.
Well,
it's fucking culty and creepy and, oh, God.
Yeah, that rollout the other day was something else, wasn't it? Never mind the fact that we're in a pandemic and no one was wearing masks. Yeah. No one was distanced. Not even Amy Coney Barrett and her fucking kids were not distanced. We're not wearing masks. There, you want another indication of the nuts factor? There it is, right there. I got some encouraging polls and an encouraging forecast to talk about in just one second. But now that we've said goodbye to summer, it's time for things to get back into our everyday autumn groove. Everything's flavored with pumpkin spice. And before you know it, the leaves are going to start falling to their deaths. With so much changing around us, it's increasingly difficult to find extra time for you, the time you need to take care of yourself and to look your best. With Plexiderm, all you need is 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. We're talking about Photoshop in a can. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes. It visibly reduces wrinkles, fine lines, even under eye bags in just a matter of minutes. It can also work on laugh lines, number 11s, and crow's feet. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. It is topical. It is non-invasive. No plastic surgery required. And it costs less than a round of pumpkin spice lattes for you and your friends. You can try a 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit Triplex Plexiderm.com or call 1-800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee in case you don't like it. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit Triplexiderm.com or call 1-800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES at checkout. Thank you.
Bob Seska!
I struggle sometimes, as if I fail right, coming like a car light, going through the dark in town. I'd find some exist, keeping a tall gaze, living in a charming haze.
There's another track from Elijah Bone. This is a song called True Riders. I almost said True Raiders, but it's True Riders. It is
This is makeout music. Isn't it?
Yeah, Elijah Bone, one of the favorites from the Indie Music Countdown a couple of months ago. I get more music by them on here. Yeah, True Riders is from the self-titled EP, also called Elijah Bone. Link in the description at bobsesca.com. Also, bobsesca.com/music if you want to submit your songs to the show. Thank you for doing that. You know, a couple of polls here, or actually a poll and a forecast from the Our Progress people. So, but first we're going to start with this latest poll from ChangePoll/CNBC. This is some good news coming out. This is a likely voter poll taken 9:29 through 9:30. So this takes into consideration that fuckwad of a debate the other night. Biden 54%, Donald Trump 41%. So that is a 13% spread. That's actually what? I should have had some celebratory applause there instead. Because that's good news. 13 point differential is pretty fucking solid. You know what? I'm going to look up the 2008.
I haven't seen a spread like that since the night Melania got her wedding ring.
Yeah, where's my rim shot? There we go. There's
I'll be here until there's a vaccine.
So, you know,
you're very kind. Thank you.
In 2008, Barack Obama almost won Missouri, he won Indiana. Of course, he won Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, and then, of course, he also won Iowa, which Donald Trump won Iowa big time, and he's favored to win Iowa in this election very narrowly. Suffice to say, the 2008 election was a blowout for Barack Obama. He ended up with 365 electoral votes to John McCain's 173. You know what John McCain's percentage of the popular vote was? 45.7%. That's a big deal when you take into consideration that right now, according to this post-debate poll by ChangePoll CNBC, Trump's at 41%. So that bears out nationally that way for the election, and it it kind of manipulates the Electoral College in the right way. We could be looking at that blowout scenario, and in fact,
should bear in mind he's been historic that no president in American history has been as consistently unpopular.
Yeah.
Has never ever failed to hurdle 50% mm-hmm. in approval.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's certainly the case with Donald Trump. And as this map loads up on my screen here, the Our Progress or the Progress campaign's forecast dated October 1st. So that's today. Their spread right now is with no toss-ups, Joe Biden 389 electoral votes to Trump's 149.
Please.
That's the no toss-up.
Please, Jesus.
With toss-ups, it's at 289 to 125. But that's leaving Florida, Georgia, North Carolina, Ohio, Iowa, and Texas as toss-ups and completely blank. So, you know, again,
Georgia's close.
Yeah. All Biden needs is 270. That's it. And he's the next president. Donald Trump is ousted, but that's not going to be good enough because I think a 270 electoral vote count for Joe Biden is going to invite all of these election challenges that Donald Trump is going to do.
Yeah, it's got to be way more than that.
It's got to be.
I want it to be over 300.
Yeah, I'd like to see Texas. I'd certainly like to see Florida, North Carolina. You know, there was a poll out yesterday. It was a Quinnipiac poll of all places, and they seem to be pretty reliable. The poll was in South Carolina. Donald Trump, 48. Joe Biden, 47.
I know, that's nice.
Wow, with Lindsey Graham
is falling behind, yes.
Yeah, yay! Lindsey Graham and Harrison tied at 48 in this Quinnipiac poll. So,
goodbye, Lindsey. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
please,
I think...
Please, baby Jesus.
There's going to be coattails in this. And so, mm-hmm. if that translates well to the Senate, we could be looking at a pretty good majority in the Senate, too, which is going to be appropriate for doing the... what I was calling in the banter the other day, a second reconstruction in this country. You know, we had the first reconstruction after the Civil War. We need to do a second reconstruction. It can't just be a slate of reforms. We need to restructure how we do politics at the presidential level in this country, especially at the presidential level. I mean, if we want to roll in getting rid of gerrymandering and all of that, too, we can do that. But I mean, there is such an effort that's going to have to take place provided Joe Biden wins this election, moving forward, the next 4 years have got to be all about just making sure this never fucking happens again.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Joe Biden can win South Carolina, talk about the political capital. I mean, political capital, if this is a blowout, the political capital to get rid of all the Trump things is going to be undeniable. I mean, Republicans are going to still scream, of course, and there will be some new Tea Party and the fucking Proud Boys and all those yahoos will go indiscriminately bananas. But there will be, generally speaking, capital to do the changes that need to be done, right?
Yeah.
I just can't stop hearing it. Proud Boys, it's just so fucking gay. Just like, what are you doing on our turf? Yeah. You bitches, go somewhere else with your bullshit. Like, Proud is gay and queer and LG, you know, and boys. I just like,
yeah,
you're not even men. Like, it just.
Gavin McGinnis explained it on Joe Rogan's
You mean
show.
The non-American citizen Gavin McGinnis?
Yes, that one.
Canadian, Scottish born.
Yeah.
Canadian, British passport. Yeah, he should be, I don't know, for inciting violence, maybe deported.
Yeah, I think so. But he was telling Joe Rogan that, oh, yeah, I understand boys is in the title of this little group that I've formed, this little militia or whatever it is, this cosplay club that he's put together. He said, yeah, but so the title Bowery Boys also had boys in it, and they were kind of tough guys, weren't they? Like,
wasn't that from the 40s?
Yeah.
Bowery Boys. I think it was even before, maybe it was the 40s. I thought it was just, I thought it was like, you know, one of those gangs from Gangs of New York. Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with Proud Boys because, you know, also Bowery Boys.
Which also sounds completely fucking gay.
Also, Rent Boys.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's, there I mean, that's go. That's the first thing I thought of when I heard the term Proud Boy. I said, are you serious? They really want to go with Proud Boys? Well, okay.
All that's right. The best they could do.
Yeah, yeah. They really want to go with Rent Boys, do they? Or maybe Rent Boys was their second choice. Jesus Christ. Okay, so you know what? We're going to wrap up the show here, but we're going to talk about Brad Parscale on the Postmortem show.
Oh, good.
This is more deliciousness. Deliciousness.
This won't be
from
so
the
much
news.
A mud fling as a landfill.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be delicious.
We talked about Brad Parscale a little bit on Tuesday's show, but it's so much fun. Why not for a second day this week talk about Brad Parscale? Besides, I want to get your thoughts, Goth Ninjas, on Brad Parscale's arrest, his tackling, and so forth. Everything that went down with Brad Parscale. Plus, there's some new news along those lines coming up. All kinds of additional fun and frivolity happening on the Postmortem show. That's on our Patreon page, by the way. In case you don't know, in case you've been living in a hole all this time, we have a Patreon page. It's patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Or more conveniently, all you got to do is type in BobSeskaShow.com and it'll take you to that Patreon page where if you sign up for $5 a month, you support this show at just $5 a month, you will get... It amounts to 8 Postmortem shows every month, or 2 Postmortem shows a week. And plus you join this big community of listeners on the show, lots of comments, lots of discussions happening about the election and everything else in between. That's all going on too. Plus we send you all the shows right to your email inbox. Huh? How convenient is that? So you don't have to go searching and hunting all over the various podcast platforms to find the show. Meanwhile, T-Rex is at patreon.com/theTRexReport. Any new podcasts coming up? Any new articles? No?
We'll talk about that in the after party.
Okay.
All right. After show.
So, and also Jody Hamilton is at from-the-bunker.com. That is the From the Bunker podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Also at sexyliberal.com, along with all of the other sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal Podcast Network programs. We were all punching each other on the Sexy Liberal Virtual Tour. I ended up punching John Fugelsang with my Civil War musket.
Oh, nice.
Because I'm a great big
nerd. Is
that nerd.
What you call it?
Yeah.
I hit Stephanie twice.
I see.
She hit me once, and Carlos hit me once, and then I hit... Carl as Donald Trump, so that was fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see now. I wish I would have hit Donald Trump, too.
That was fun.
Damn it. Okay.
Every time I go to boxing practice, I hit Donald Trump a bunch.
All right, that's it for the show. See you on the postmortem, folks. Bye bye.
Shut the hell up.
Now that you've said goodbye to summer, it's time for things to get back to our everyday autumn groove. Everything is flavored with pumpkin spice, of course, and before you know it, the leaves will start changing color. With so much changing around us, it's increasingly difficult to find that extra time just for you. The time you need to take care of yourself and to look your best. With Plexiderm, all you need is 10 minutes and you can look 10 years younger. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes. Visibly reduces wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in minutes. Plexiderm even works on laugh lines too, number 11s, whatever that is, and crow's feet. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. And by the way, the results are going to last for hours, so you can take the family apple picking and look your best the whole damn time. Even better, Plexiderm doesn't involve any visits to a surgeon and costs less than a round of pumpkin spice lattes for you and your friends. You can try a 6-application trial for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit triplexiderm.com or call 1-800-685-1292 and say the code VOICES. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit triplexiderm.com or call 800-685-1292 and use the code VOICES at checkout. Thank you.